Beloved Master of Easy, Master of Beauty, Master of Hearts, how can I love myself more? And then more, and more and more and more. In gratitude to you, my beloved Master, for making a little crack in what sometimes feels like the coconut head. Love, Vino. Beloved Master of Easy, beloved Master of Beauty, Master of Hearts, how can I love myself? That's easy. So easy. Just be more easy. Just be more beauty. Just be more heart. That is how it is. But how can you do that? Everybody says you have to love yourself, but how can you love yourself if you are not love, not beauty, not easy? That's the whole transformation that I'm creating here. How to transform the ugly duckling into the swan. That's all what is happening here. You have been in the wrong family. They say that you are quack, quack, quack. But you are much more than quack, quack, quack. You are a beautiful white swan that can fly over the Himalayas. But that you have forgotten, because no quack, quack, quack do that. So I have to remind you. How can I love myself more? That is the whole transformation. There's no easy recipe to do that, because you can fool everybody, but you can't fool yourself. And you can only love something that is beautiful, that is peaceful, that is loving. How can you? You cannot love anything else. That is how it is. And that's what you are. And I go on driving you crazy because I say, it is easy. And you are beautiful. And you are just a big heart. And then you said, but why I feel so stupid then? Because you have to go beyond all these ideas and all this conditioning. That is the whole work. And only then can you love yourself, because you can only love, really love, what is real. And when you really, really love, then you don't even know you love, then it just becomes your nature. You don't think, I love. You just have the fragrance of love, because you have found love, you have found peace, you have found that easiness. So when you want to love yourself, then it's a problem then, because that you has to go, and that is can be traumatic. But when that you go, that all that package of identification with who you are, and your ideas, what is easy and what is beautiful and who you are and how you should be, when all that is gone, then you feel just at peace then. You feel loving. So that is what is happening. But it is still somebody there that is wondering. And not only love yourself more, but more and more and more and more. And that means there's some greed there, and all that has to go. It means all your identification has to go. There's no other way. All more and more and more and more has to go. Because it's much more already. Already is too much. It's not to get more, it's to get rid of all that more and more and more. It's just the opposite of what you think. It's like peeling the onion, layer and layer and layer and layer, and then at last there's nothing left. Then you are at peace then. Nothing is stinging your eyes. So it is no easy way, but I doing my best and you are following the recipe. So you have more and more glimpses, you have more and more peace, you feel more and more you are questioning yourself and your ideas. And that is has to be there. You have to doubt. You have to doubt everything in the beginning. To go beyond doubt, you have to doubt everything. So that's my suggestion. Just doubt everything and investigate yourself if it's real or not. That is the dilemma. All the master says, just love yourself. You are perfect. But how can you love yourself? Because you don't feel that, no? So that's the whole process. You cannot fool yourself. And when you really love yourself, then you forget it. You're just at ease. It's easy. But as long as somebody is there, that somebody will never be satisfied. It will be always something else. And even if you are in heaven, or even if you are here, that mind can come up, that is something more, something else. It's always greener on the other side of the fence, they say. No? That is how the mind is. It's always something else. And all that has to stop. You have to just be more and more present. And in the presence, you find everything. You find the easiness, you find the beauty, you find your heart, and you find the love. And if you, the easiest way, if you can just trust me, then I will tell you that you are already beautiful, you are already loving, you are already easy. Can you accept that? Then everything is fine. Then don't be so difficult, no? Be compassionate with yourself. How come we cannot live just a relaxed life? Even look how beautiful, everything is provided. We're sitting here in the middle of the snow like on the North Pole. And everything is hunky-dory and fine. And almost a little bit too hot. Bellies are full. Satsang. Beautiful, the most beautiful people in the whole of the world is here. And then still. This is what you have to accept, what is here, it's happening. If you had been in the middle of Congo, then you could question this. How to get away from here. But here is not to get away, it's just to get more present. You have already, this is the end stop now. Don't need to go, you just have to go deeper. But it takes a little time, you know, this easy message is not so easy to accept. Because we are so complicated. Tiki tiki tiki. Tuku tuku tuku. Kalyant. Talking about the North Pole, I was reminded that Jaimati wrote to me. Because she has always been very afraid of cold. Now at least, at last I got her to face the cold, no? What a blessing to have all this time just to contemplate, to relax, to listen to the sound of silence, time to do nothing, time to sit at the feet of the Master and to wake up forever. What a valuable time. That's how you should see it. It's happening. Time to do nothing. You're all so tired of doing so much. And that's why it maybe takes a little time to stop. I have been listening to your saying again and again, you don't need to suffer to return to your true nature. I want you to dance and become playful. Just come back to your nature. This is all I want. To laugh a lot and to become more light and natural. Now I know why I had to come. And it's great that I listened to the calling. Yahoo. Yes, it is time now, Jamati. And I always are after you, come on. Move from there, come on to Iberakera, you know, come here, like that. Now you see, it's just to get out of your own way and join the Caravanserai. Eternal gratitude for this precious gift, my beloved, with tenderness, happiness and love at your feet. And the satsang, to sit in satsang with all this magic, is like being in the sacred mountains and temples in the Himalayas. The sound of the bells and the Tibetan music transport me into other times, very ancient, when there was not all this comfort and this protection against the cold. I feel so grateful for the coziness, for the care and for the beauty that we are having here with you. Beloved, I feel that I'm healing the panic of dying of cold. Instead of feeling fear, I am having some good laughs. That's my magic, Jamati, to transform this fear into good laughs. And you have different fears and shocks sitting in your system. For example, maybe you have died of freezing to death. Then you will definitely be reminded here. But I want you to face all your fears. Like some people are very afraid to go in a boat. Maybe they have been drowning. I realized many times different ways I was dying in the past. But you have to face that because it's the past. You shouldn't carry that with you. You shouldn't carry any fear with you. So now I healed you from the cold. You can see you have never been so hot in your whole life. And you have never been in such a cold place. How is it possible? That is the mystery. It's like a fairy tale, you say. It's like a fairy tale. How can it be hot and cold? We are free people, we can do everything now, we just enjoy if it's hot, if it's cold. In a way, maybe it's better here, where it's cold because we have heat inside and we have good clothes. When it's very, very hot, how? You can only take off that much. And then you suffer. Many times I've been suffering very hot, too hot. Then you get totally finished. No energy, not just too hot. So that's the balance, how to be balanced. Not too hot, not too cold. Beloved Master, sitting at your feet, I see how the compassion and acceptance for myself is growing and is beautiful to feel. And that there is really no wrong or right, only my own experience. I have seen the importance of being grounded. The deeper the roots, the more I manage to stay in the body. Yes. That is absolutely true. And I'm all for that. This cannot just be out there. You are here also. You have to have deep roots. If you don't have deep roots, then you are the first to fall when a strong wind comes. That's how the trees are. If they have just very little roots, if you have deep roots, then any storm that comes, it will just rustle your leaves. You say, I like that. Because you know you are connected with Mother Earth. You have deep, strong roots. That is absolutely a must. Otherwise, you will just be broken. First storm, you're gone. The deeper the roots, the more I manage to stay in the body. Then everything feels much more real. I feel real. This body is really an amazing instrument. Some time ago, I wrote a poem to you. It was so strong for me when I wrote it, so I just had to find the right time to give it to you. Like something had to mature. So this feels to be the right moment. Love. Love just wants me to breathe deep and unobstructed. Love just wants me to be and to dance, sing and laugh freely. It holds me so I can cry all my tears and my heart shines even more. This beauty is penetrating my heart so I can love even more deeply and to see that, yes, I am worthy of this love. I am loved. In my tears of gratitude, I see the reflection of your internal fire. I love you, Master, from my heart, Pratita. It's only love that heals. And that's why my whole climate is love. Because that is what heals you. First, you are just full of sores, of hurt. Then you have to get healed. Then realizing that you can relax, you are safe, you can trust, you can love. Then you are loved. Then a healing takes place. Then if that healing grows and grows, then you realize not only you are loved, but you are love. Pratita, very nice, Pratita. Very nice. You see, from that space of trust and love and healing, then only beautiful things are coming. Tears of love, poetry, music, laughter, dance, like that. Dear beloved, thank you for this beautiful retreat, for your presence, love, silence, and sharings, for nurturing my being, my heart. I would like to share with you and hear if you have some guidance, some comments for me. I am awareness, this presence, this loving nothingness. So I ask myself, then who are these thoughts and emotions? And I feel that they are just a part of this physical realm, like a functioning, a tool that everyone has. All these thoughts and emotions are needed to function in this physical realm. That is how it is. But if you are identified with those thoughts and emotions, then it can be very messy because we are much more. So then you shrink yourself into just thoughts and emotions. And then the problem is coming. If you remember that you are the witness, that you are awareness, then no problem then. That is the whole fight between God and the devil they talk about. That is the whole fight between light and darkness. If you are identified with your thoughts, your emotions, your feeling, if you shrink yourself, that is called the ego. Then you are limiting yourself. Then, of course, it will be pain, it will be suffering. If you remember your true nature, which is awareness, consciousness, then no suffering. But it takes time for that awareness to reclaim itself, because we have been brainwashed as such, to think that we are only the emotion, the thinking, the ego. That is the whole shift, that is the transformation. If I am inquiring about who is thinking this, who is feeling this, I find there is no one. It is like the thoughts and emotions come from nothingness and go back to nothingness. That is why it's so important with just sitting silently, because then you can study this. Any thought can come, but it disappears. You don't need to be any affected by it. Just like clouds. So everything comes from emptiness and disappears to emptiness. Not to focus on the thoughts or the emotion means freedom. Between the thought, there is a gap. Then in that gap, that's where you are, consciousness. But the mind is always occupied of thoughts. So you miss that little gap. The more aware you see the gap, and the more you come back to the gap, the more that gap becomes the whole. The less the mind, the clouds, comes, the more the sun is there. unconscious, you are just thought. Conscious, the whole shift has happened. Thoughts can come, emotions can come, feeling can come, but then they are purified. They are just like they should be. They just make it more beautiful. Because you know from your own witness consciousness that this is also needed for it to function here. We have to talk, we have to think, we have to decide, we have to plan, we have to do many things.
For me, it is that mind is in the consciousness also.
Yes.
It's like whatever it says, it doesn't matter. I'm just witnessing.
You can enjoy it. Instead of looking at the gymnastic, you can look at the gymnastic of the mind, no? Because it's very good gymnastic. And then you can save a lot of energy going to the World Cup and everything. They all just watch the mind. Nothing can affect you if you have that distance from it. That is the whole part of meditation.
It's like, now that you said something, that why should no mind be superior to some mind?
No mind is not superior. It's not a question of superior or the thing is, it's good to have, if you are too much identified with the mind, then it's good to have a balance, to realize you have no mind. But if you are settled in your true nature, then it doesn't matter. The mind is still there. As long as this body, mind, is alive, your mind, your emotions, your feeling will still be there. But you are not the slave of it. That is the whole difference. For an ego-conscious person who is identified, then anger comes and you get angry. That is how people are. Then they get angry, they get hurt, they get mad. That is for the unconscious people. For a wise person, anger can come, but he will watch the anger and then it disappears again. Nothing sticks if you don't feed it. Doesn't mean that anger won't come. It will come, but only when it's needed, when it's appropriate. Like anything else that happens. When you feel joy, you feel joy. It happens. When you feel sadness, you feel sadness. But it's not out of context, which is how it is for if you are identified with it. Then feelings can come and you get identified. That is the whole difference between an ignorant person and a wise person. Then everything is happening perfectly. You feel happy, you feel happy. Your best friend dies. You feel sad. But you don't stick to it. This is the whole difference. If I'm inquiring about who is thinking this, who is feeling this, I find there is no one. It is like the thoughts and emotion comes from nothingness and go back to nothingness. Everything is happening in God because everything comes from emptiness, that everything comes from God. It's just another world. Or everything comes from consciousness. So now you are a manifestation of consciousness of God. Realizing this, you are happy. Because you are God consciousness. Not realizing it, it will be suffering. Then you trying to survive. That is the whole difference. That all the old scripture says the same thing. Except that you are not the doer. The ignorant person thinks, he or she, I'm doing this. The wise person knows that this is happening through me. I'm an instrument. Because you have to do many things in life, but you are not identified with it. It is not mine. As long as it's mine, it's a problem. You don't have anything. How can you? How can you have anything? You are not the body. Then it becomes a lila. That's what they talk about. It becomes a play. It's not against the mind. The mind is a beautiful instrument, and you will use that much more beautiful when you are not identified with the mind, because the mind then comes in its right place. Like the emotions, like the feelings, like everything, it comes to its right place. You will get more intelligent. So the more that that thought, so ego structure crumbles, disintegrate, the more your true self will come. In crying, who is thinking this, who is feeling this, they disappear, like they just evaporate. So this is a great tool. Anything that can help you to come back. I feel it's just not to get fooled to believe that they are me. That is the whole thing, Dakini. Not to get fooled by the mind that is you. Because then me, you, then it becomes a problem. Then you become separate. Then it becomes serious. That's what I said. That's the only difference. If you are identified with your habit, your identity with the ego, then you think this is my problem. This is my anger, this is my this, this is my ideas. If you have realized your more true nature, then ideas will come, but it doesn't cling to you. You know this is just something passive. It's just like clouds going through the sky. How can they affect me? They are just going through this body-mind system. So then you, out of your consciousness, it's up to you if you want to respond to it or not. And the more you become settled just in that silence, in your clarity, the more just the mind comes with things that is important. It doesn't disturb you with unconscious things, because your awareness takes over. Then it comes just what it needs to tell you. Unconsciously, it will disturb you all the time. That's why people go crazy. That's why it's so difficult to find silence, because the mind is always moving, always moving. Everybody feels that when you stop for meditation, it's very difficult. Because now, for the first time, you start watching your mind, and it's so restless. So when you have a distance that you are not the mind, then you can start functioning from another place, slowly, slowly. Till if you go the whole journey, coming home, then you are not identified. Then you know you are consciousness, you are silence itself. That means that it's not against the mind, because you know. How can you be against? Everything is there. But then that has also found its place. Like I said, just like a good dog, it's there. When you need it, you say, fetch the paper. Oh, I have to book the plane ticket. Okay. But that's it then. I feel it's just not to get fooled to believe that they are me. This is the whole thing. In some way, funny way, we are tricked to believe that that is us. But it's not. It is like this awareness that I am easily loses itself in believing that it is what it is looking at. And when it does that, then all the problems start. That's it. Because you go out, you lose yourself. That's why it's so important to be centered, to be in yourself, to be present. Then you can deal with anything, but you don't lose yourself. You are rooted in yourself. And then as soon as you lose yourself, which normally people do all the time, then the problem starts, because then you are not present. Then you have gone away. Then the problem starts out there, because you are not present. The more present you are, then no problem. Totally present, absolutely no problem. I feel the root of all conflict is that I am forgetting that I am not. That is the root of all things. Whatever way you want to put it, this is also a very good way to put it. It's no problem. I feel the root of all conflict is that I am forgetting that I am not. Then we back to, yeah, you are nobody. How can nobody have any problem? It's impossible. That I talked about many times. And I like much more to deal with nobodies than somebodies. Somebodies, they always have problems. Nobody. Then, if you are nobody, then you are consciousness. The problems come with the body, with the feelings, with the emotion, with mind. That is what you call the ego, then my problem. My pain, my projections, my right and wrong. If you leave that to your nothingness, nobodyness, then who has problems? Know you again, you are centered, you are more rooted, you are more remembering your true nature, which is consciousness. There has never been any problem there, and it will never be any problem there. This is the whole thing that we are forgetting. That's why we have to remember. That is one of the things the mystics have tried from this way to that way, how to put it. And it's impossible to talk about. Still, we're talking about it. And the amazing thing is also that it gets understood. Because you have that consciousness in you, everybody has it. So if you are not identified with the mind, with the feelings, with your ego structure, so much, it will be understood. That is the understanding. And then this understanding will start putting seeds in your own being. It will become integrated. That is what satsang is. It has to. These seeds of consciousness has to make roots. Ordinary people in the street, they will never listen, they will never hear, they can't understand. The mind is too busy, these things cannot go in. You can't put seeds on a concrete. You have to put the seed in a nice wet soil. And that is what is happening here. You're making your own soil. And then beautiful flowers comes. Sometimes it can be really difficult to feel and remember this. Yes. But there's no problem, Dakini, because you can see it. No, these seeds will go by itself. Because you are nurturing and you are in the right place. They will sprout by themselves. I see, I really have to be alert not to forget this. But even that we cannot do, because sometimes we forget, sometimes we don't. It cannot be a struggle. It's just that your own consciousness will mature and your understanding how things are will go deeper and deeper. Then this understanding will take over all those brain cells that is so full of bullshit. It will flush bullshit out, and then it will just be nice, fresh water of consciousness there. And then you feel, whoa, like that. You need to flush out the old, and then the new will come by itself. I have seen this before, but I have to see it many, many times. I have to remind myself a million times. And all that we are doing here helps me to remind myself of that. And I love it. And it's so nice with all the support from friends, the presence, just our energies together. It is such a mystery how a no one can live and function as a someone. Life is both, such a mystery. It is far out. It is really far out, babe. It's really far out. Because we are and we are not. A lot of love, love, love to you. I love you in love and eternal gratefulness, the King. This is how it is we have forgotten. And everybody has been conditioned. That's what is called conditioning. We have been conditioning by the environment, by the family, by the society, by the religions, by our culture. All this has polluted us. Then you have the families you come from. You haven't chosen what parent. Suddenly you are coming, you're popping up here and there in Brazil, in Norway, China, in Japan, in America, poop, poop, poop. Then you have your DNA and all that stuff. All that has its own program. You can have a very good body, you can have a bad body, you can have all kinds of problems. But this is same consciousness in everything. Like you have the electricity. You have only one electricity, that is like God. Then you have many different things. You can have a vacuum cleaner. You can have a juicer. You can have a light that is, I don't know why. No, you can have an electric car also. Your flashlight, laser. You have so many things, it's the same electricity. No? It's like that. So remembering that you are plugged into the power source, then no problem, then you are part of the whole. Then no problem, this is how it is. You do your thing, you live as beautiful as you can, and everything is hunky-dory. Otherwise, the problem. This is just modern sutras from Vasant Maharaj Faha, also known as Babaji. Otherwise, it's the same, they said, thousands of years ago, exactly the same. If you identified with your little self, with your emotions, with your ego, problem. If you remember who you really are, then live happily. It's like that. One Zen master said, Dogen, I think, to study oneself is Buddhism. No, the teaching of the Buddhas, they say you have to study yourself, you have to know yourself. That is the whole thing, that is what is happening here also. You have to, one way or the other, have to try to make you look at yourself. Even Sugandhi's, I have to look, and then she's happy. Many people, it's difficult to look at yourself, you have to look. And then you become happy because you go deeper than your image, your idea, your conditioning, your past, your childhood. Then you remember something more real that everybody has connected to. And when that is connected in many, then the atmosphere becomes very healing, very helpful to remembering that that's what's happening here. If you are totally identified, then problem. And not only people are identified, but they are feeding that identification. That we are different. And they have wars, and they have problems, and they have this and my meanings and your meaning. And it's unending. And that's why just a few people through the times of history has dropped out of the rat race and come back to themselves. And then, of course, they will always look like outsiders, even though they are the only insiders. So everything is upside down. So this, all this conditioning that we have had, most people on the planet will die in it also. You won't get out of it. But if you get out and if you remember and if you start witnessing, being aware of your true nature, then you break all that. Your whole vision becomes much bigger. You are not locked in to your name, your fame, your country, your religion, your country. All that disappears. And then you can live and be free. It just will. The problem is not that it's so easy, you know. It's so easy, I can't believe it. And that's why people go on missing it. But you're totally into the right thing and it will, seeds are there and it will flower, don't worry. And for innocent people, when they are more unpolluted and don't have so heavy past or story, they can catch this very easily. Of course it has to mature. But the learned person, somebody who is so full, they are very difficult to break through it. An innocent person can get it very easily. And in India they have many stories like that. Just listening to the truth and you wake up or you have a satori. And that happens here also, just listening to it, just seeing it. No, when you first have realized something, remembered something, that means no, the seeds are there. That remembrance starts working by itself. You can never be the same then again. Because something in you know. One of my friends in India, he has left his body now, Ramesh Balsikar. His master, Nisargadatta, he was a very simple man, very simple man, very uneducated. And he was a devotee of Hanuman or some of these Hindi gods. Every day he went to the same temple and did his pujas and did his ceremonies and offered flowers and did his prayers. And then it was one master there also who came there. And his friend said, you have to come and meet this master, this guru. And he said, no, I'm not interested. I just want to go to my temple and do this. No, I'm a very simple man. I just leave me alone. But this friend, he was, of course, you know how it is with your guru. You just, oh, you have to meet him. He's so beautiful. So he tried and tried. And one day, he said, okay, I'll come here. I said, oh. And then he met this guru there. And he wasn't into it at all. But then the guru said, what is it you're really looking for? No, nothing. I just come and do my things. And he said, yeah, it's nothing to look for. Everything is perfect as it is. you just listen to me, you are already that, you are already free. You don't need to do this ceremonies or anything. If you enjoy it, do it. If you don't enjoy it, don't do it. And just being with him and getting 12 straight, he said this, Nisargadatta said, something changed in him. He wasn't enlightened at once, but something changed. He really felt the impact, the truth, because he was a very innocent man. And he said, when our people asked, how did you get enlightened? He said, I trusted my guru. I did what he said. He said, I was already free. But this is one in millions. But it's possible. He was so surrendered, so in tune with the master, and so innocent, that this man will never lie to me. And his ego was so little anyway, he was so clean, that he trusted, he said, I just trusted my guru, I did what he said. And he became one of the most far out gurus. Of course, not many people were around him because who wants to go? And he didn't fit really the image of a guru. He was smoking bidis all the time. So when these people are alive, then people miss out on them. But afterwards, then they get famous. So this is how it is. You are already that. That's what all the Buddha said. You are already that. The only thing is if they can sink in and really flower. Now I will read you some words from Osho that Jayamati sent me. When you go back, remind us when you go back from this deep and sacred retreat. Go back, but not as the same as the one who came. Go back as a Buddha, without any hesitation, silent, tranquil, graciously. Sit for a few moments simply reminding yourself that you are a Buddha. That's the thing, because it's almost too hard for the mind to accept. So you have to remind yourself this consciousness, this Buddha nature is in you. And allow this remembrance to stay at all moments, and you will see a tremendous revolution happening inside and outside of you. All your acts will become like poetry. All your movements will become like a dance. Your breath will become musical. Your heart will beat in deep synchronicity with the universe. You will not be separate. You will be one with the oceanic consciousness that surrounds all of us. Remember and be happy. Aum Shanti.
Thank you.